Can man override a night? Has God created man to where man can become more powerful than God? And let me phrase it with this question as we move forward. Is the world coming to an end? I ask this question because in this week's Parsha, Noach, we read of the destruction of mankind through a flood of the entire earth. An event so profound, Adonai said he would never do it again. An event so impactful, it changed the very composition of the atmosphere. A moment so devastating grieved his creation of man, for the only thing on their heart was evil. So we read in Genesis 6, 5 and 6. And I saw that the people on earth were very wicked, that all the imaginings of their heart were always of evil only. And I regretted that he made humankind on the earth. It grieved his heart. So I ask this question because depending on who you ask will depend on the answer you get. The response isn't really if, but when. The flood puts today's narrative of rising tides not only in perspective, but to shame. Back in 2006, Al Gore, the former vice president under Bill Clinton, made a movie called An Inconvenient Truth. Does this ring a bell to anyone? A few people. And it was about global warming and climate change. These are some of the things that he predicted back in 2006. Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa, the highest peak on the continent, will be snow-free within a decade. He goes on to claim that heat waves will become more common. And of course, when the oceans get warmer, this causes stronger storms. The same year that we had the string of big hurricanes, this was basically in 2005, we had Hurricane Katrina. That he claimed that we would also set an all-time record for tornadoes. So we would hear that global warming would melt the polar ice caps and thus cause the sea levels to rise, causing enormous disruption because a large percentage of the world's population lives on the coast. We live on the coast. We have this little inlet where we can see the tide rising and lowering. Where we are but a stone's throw away, we are probably about maybe 8 feet above it, and then on the third floor, so maybe another 15 feet or so. So it's right there. So we would hear of this. Yet since 2006, what actually happened? Vice President Gore predicted doom for the planet. Today, there is still snow on the top of Mount Kilimanjaro. And global temperatures showed little to no warming trend after the release of the movie. In fact, the surface temperature of the water showed no significant global warming for a period of about 15 years, starting in 2000. The rumors of the Earth's demise have been greatly exaggerated. Today, you are hearing much of the same regarding the Earth's climate. This was from last year. Millennials and Gen Z and all these folks that come after us are looking up and we're like the world will end in 12 years if we don't address climate change. And your biggest issue is how we are going to pay for it. In other words, saying our issue is climate change, but you're concerned about, well, how are we going to pay for all this? This was Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, January 21st, 2019. Likewise, we've heard the increased number of hurricanes this year as a result of climate change. The wildfires of the West Coast, specifically California, are a result of climate change. More extreme winters and hotter summers are the result of climate change. If we don't do something such as spend $93 trillion over the next 10 years with the goal of net zero carbon emissions, we are doomed. This is my summarization of everything that's being said. The reality of all of this is the climate of the Earth cycles. The primary catalyst for the change in climate is not man-made, but it is sun-made. S-U-N, not S-O-N, by the way. The greatest impact on the Earth's climate is the sun, even from 93 million miles away. Sunspots and solar flares are a greater source of impact upon the climate of the Earth than the emissions, the greenhouse gases, that occur within the Earth's environment. Consider these two Spanish words, and Julio, this is for your benefit. La Niña and El Niño. La Niña, which means little girl or the girl, correct? My Spanish isn't bad. As long as it's short, it isn't bad. La Niña, the little girl, impacts, or the girl, impacts the global climate and disrupts normal weather patterns, which as a result can lead to intense storms in some places and droughts in others. During a period of La Niña, the sea surface temperature across the equatorial eastern central Pacific Ocean will be lower than normal. La Niña events have occurred for hundreds of years and occurred on a regular basis during the early parts of both the 17th and 19th centuries. Since the start of the 20th century, 1900, 120 years ago, La Niña events have occurred 24 times. El Niño, the child, affects the global climate and disrupts in the same way. The difference between El Niño and El Niño is that with El Niño, the temperature rises, doesn't lower. So let me put this in perspective for you. Are El Niño and El Niño caused by carbon emission? The Earth's total population in 1900 was 2 billion people. In 1950, it was 2.5 billion people. In that 50-year span, there were combined 17 El Niño and La Niña events. Keeping in mind, 1900, the combustible engine was in its infancy. 1950, we experienced an after-war boom. Yet the Earth only had 2.5 billion people. So the wave of industrialization was still somewhat isolated. I lay this as a foundation, providing context as I continue. Ultimately, this is a narrative that is man-centered, not God-centered. We have seen this type of narrative play out before, whereby Adonai's creation truly believes they can be like Adonai and make a name for themselves rather than honor the name of the one who created them. Also in this week's parsha, we read of man's desire to build a city and a tower. Bereshit, or Genesis 11, starting in verse 1, the whole earth used the same language, the same words. It came about that as they traveled from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and lived there. They said to one another, come, let's make bricks and bake them in the fire. So they had bricks for building stone and clay for mortar. Then they said, come, let's build ourselves a city with a tower that has its top reaching up into heaven so that we can make a name for ourselves and not be scattered all over the earth. Adonai came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. Adonai said, look, the people are united. They all have a single language and see what they're starting to do. At this rate, nothing they set out to accomplish will be impossible for them. Come, let's go down and confuse their language so that they won't understand each other's speech. So from there, Og and I scattered them all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. For this reason, it is called Babel, meaning confusion, because there, Og and I confused the language of the whole earth. And from there, Og and I scattered them all over the earth. The key verse here is verse 4. Then they said, come, let's build ourselves a city with a tower that has its top reaching up into heaven so that we can make a name for ourselves and not be scattered all over the earth. We can see why the motivation to make a name for ourselves was so evil. Through thematic analysis, we studied this last year. We see that making a name for ourselves is all about creating a man-centered society that rejects the idea of glorifying God. Instead, the society wanted nothing to do with Adonai, the true source of life. Now the generation of the Tower of Babel is using the same phraseology. Remember what the serpent said would happen if humankind partook in the fruit of the tree of knowledge. In Genesis 3, 4, and 5, the serpent said to the woman, it is not true that you will surely die, because God knows that on that day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So as you can see, the temptation was too great for the generation of the Tower of Babel, and they succumbed. Their usage of the phrase, let us, is thematically connected to its usage by Adonai in Bereshit 1:21. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, in the likeness of ourselves, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the animals, and over all the earth, and over every crawling creature that crawls on the earth. Thus conveys that the generation of the Tower of Babel had been seduced into thinking that they were like gods, small g. They think they are so much like the Holy One that they even try to talk like him. Furthermore, they are trying their hand at creation as Adonai created the heavens and the earth. They state that they are trying to build a city and a tower that will connect the earth to the heavens. Once again, we see that man is glorifying himself to the point that he believes he's like Adonai. As you can see, the error of the generation of the Tower of Babel has begun to take on a religious flavor. They are essentially trying to mix the things of heaven and the things of the earth, God's way versus man's way, and trying to bring them together. We've seen how this tends to transpire. This is further strengthened because the name Babylon means mixture. Can you think of any other scriptures thematically related to a city with a tower or a religious center and a name in one place? Hopefully Deuteronomy 12 came to mind, where in verse 10 it says, but when you cross the Jordan and live in the land Adonai your God is having you inherit, and he gives you rest from all your surrounding enemies so that you are living in safety, then you will bring all that I'm ordering you to the place Adonai your God chooses to have his name live. Your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tenths, the offerings from your hand, and all your best possessions that you dedicate to Adonai. And you will rejoice in the presence of Adonai, you, your sons, your daughters, your male and female slaves, and the Levites staying with you, inasmuch as he has no share or inheritance with you. What are these verses talking about but Jerusalem? A place where God will place his name and do what? Eventually a temple will be built. Not a tower, but a temple. We don't have to go up, but God was coming down. So the plan of Adonai was to choose one city where he would build a temple and cause his name to dwell. Another aspect of the true motivation of the generation of the Tower of Babel. Remember, we already know they think they are gods, similar to the Holy One. But this is just too much, yet it is true. The source of this temptation, the adversary, even tries to tempt Yeshua with worldly riches, yet with a string attached. Luke chapter 4, verse 5, the adversary took him, showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all this power and glory. It has been handed over to me, and I can give it to whomever I choose. So if you will worship me, it will all be yours. Or by Yeshua's response, the Tanakh says, worship Adonai your God and serve him only. So this idea of Babel, what's going on, they're trying to be like God. They're trying to create a center of worship. But it's worship of creation, not the creator. It should now be increasingly evident that the unholy purpose of this generation was the establishment and propagation of a counterfeit religious system. Have you ever heard of Mystery Babylon? It was the ultimate deification of man. In this counterfeit system, man could behave as if he were God. One glorifying himself as God, small g. Obvious Adonai wanted to thwart this evil plan. Mankind tried to fulfill Adonai's plan on their own, establish one place in one city, Shinar, not Jerusalem, with one religious house of worship, the tower, not the temple, where mankind could make a name for themselves instead of calling upon the name of Adonai with one language. Worshipping that which is created references types of earth worship, Mother Earth, nature, Wicca or witchcraft, or specific practices that are forbidden in Scripture. Leviticus 19:31, do not turn to spirit medium or sorcerers. Don't seek them out to be defiled by them. I am Adonai your God. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6. The person who turns to spirit mediums and sorcerers to go fornicating after them, I will set myself against him and cut him off from his people. So the vast diversity of religions that fall under the title of earth religions offers no real consensus of beliefs. However, the ethical beliefs of most religions tends to overlap. So there's a lot of similarities. You can put a different name on it, but ultimately it's worshiping a creation, not the creator. So what do you notice about the list of consensus beliefs that I'm going to read to you? There is no divine judgment. It is up to each individual to decide what is ethical. Each individual is responsible for his or her own actions. Nature and all life should be honored. There is no one correct path or religion, only that which fits best for each individual. Moral doings are done for their own sake and not for reward. What's missing from here? God. The center of this ideology is creation, worshiping creation. Adonai has not only been replaced, he has been removed entirely. In reality, only Adonai can impact the earth he created. Amos chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. For Adonai is the one who can melt the earth with his touch and make all who live on it mourn. It will all arise just like the Nile and then subside like the Nile in Egypt. He builds his upper rooms in heaven and establishes his sky vault over the earth. He summons the waters of the sea and pours them out over the earth. Adonai is his name. So what you're seeing here now isn't something that we can truly impact on our own. We can't make it rain. We can't create a tornado. We can't create a hurricane. Consider what is written in Revelation, chapter 17, starting in verse 2. The kings of the earth went whoring with her, and the people living on earth have become drunk from the wine of her whoring. He carried me off in the spirit to a desert, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast filled with blasphemous names and having seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and glittered with gold, precious stones and pearls. In her hand was a gold cup filled with the obscene and filthy things produced by her whoring. On her forehead was written a name with a hidden meaning: Babel, the great mother of whores and of the earth's obscenities. Consider Revelation chapter 14, verse 8. Another angel, a second one, followed, saying, she has fallen, Babel the great. She made all the nations drink the wine of God's fury caused by her whoring. In other words, many will follow and be led astray. What is this whoring but that which is considered to be adultery from Adonai's perspective? Adonai's creation being unfaithful to him and establishing other things to be God, small g, and worshiping it. There will be a time when you will actually see the earth impacted in such a way that it will cause an enormous impact, caused by man's contribution, but not from what you hear today. For man's contribution is not carbon, but transgression. Consider Revelation chapter 8, verse 6. Now the seven angels with the seven shofars prepare to sound them. The first one sounded his shofar, and there came hail and fire mingled with blood, and it was thrown down upon the earth. A third of the earth was burned up. A third of the trees were burned, and all green grass was burned. The second angel sounded his shofar, and what looked like an enormous blazing mountain was hurled into the sea. A third of the sea was turned to blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died. A third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel sounded his shofar, and a great star blazing like a torch fell from the sky onto a third of the rivers and onto the springs of water. This isn't climate change. This is God's judgment being cast upon the world. Something more profound, more significant, more impactful. It is not man's effect on the climate that causes such devastation, but man's rejection of Adonai. I hope I'm not bursting any bubbles here, because I hope you're all aware of this, that nothing will happen to the earth until Adonai says so. Does anyone honestly believe that Adonai is inept in understanding his creation? Part of the earth includes the crude oil that we utilize to produce energy, heat, electricity. It was already there before we discovered it, so to speak. Thus, Adonai had intended it to be used by us for this purpose. He knew what it would emit, carbon. Thus, he established a means for consuming carbon, vegetation, the trees, the grass, everything that is green consumes carbon dioxide. I would call it a rather efficient and self-sustaining design. So let me share a few things with you. Because I'm going to share an example as well. A little hard to see. And it's not the light in the room, by the way. This is a picture of Beijing. This is one of the largest cities in the world. It's a little hard to distinguish, but you see what's there, but what's missing? Vegetation. You have such a condensed and concentrated geographical region producing carbon that it is not proportionate to that which consumes carbon. Therefore, you have this effect. Exhibit 2. A little, not as bad. And you see, it's hard to see, but there is some vegetation. But again, this city that you are looking at is Los Angeles. But now, something different. It only goes up so high. You can still see the tops of the buildings, and there's clarity above a certain level. What this picture shows, there's two smokestacks, and the smoke is going up, but it's going out. It's not going straight up, okay? But what you also don't see is that the smoke is white. A few things have transpired over the last 40 or 50 years. Around the Great Lakes in the 70s, we had a problem called acid rain due to pollution. But it was regional. It didn't go all over the place. And basically, what we know is the lake effect snow machine, where basically the pollution would go up, it would then come down in the form of rain, and then it would be in a cycle, so to speak. Addressing the pollution issue regionally addressed the problem. So I bring this up to you as one example because I want you to consider this as an example. Consider the gym as being 100 equal parts, okay? It is a closed environment, so to speak. So now I want you to pay attention to this. So just as we are created with care and intricate detail, so too is the earth. Adonai had made it regenerative and self-sustaining. Carbon emissions were the very substance vegetation consumes, as I shared earlier. This is a population density map. I gave you some numbers last week. I'm going to change the numbers a little bit to align with the map. 315 million square kilometers. Approximately 197 million square miles. That is the entire surface of the earth, water and land. 71% of it is water, approximately 224 million. That means 29% of it is land, 91 million square kilometers. What is this? I don't know what color to call it, beige, white. It's really not white, it's more of a cream color. What you see the most of on the map is population density of less than 5 people per square kilometer. You see the most intense region is India, followed by China, parts of Africa, part of the United States. Yet, approximately half of the land, majority of Canada, Greenland, Russia, previous Soviet Union, Australia, Sahara Desert, parts of Brazil, are sparsely inhabited. So basically, what we're talking about now, and here's the example, 15% of the world is populated, or 15% of the population takes up the world. So you have 15 people in this gym. And the ceiling and everything is the atmosphere. I'm not telling you to sin, but let's say every one of the 15 persons starts smoking. And their exhaust goes up. 15 people have to fill this entire gym with smoke. Yet what happens when smoke goes up? You have a number of things. You have the vegetation that consumes the carbon. You have the air that dissipates the smoke. You have ozone that is a filter. So in a vacuum, eventually, over time, this gym would be filled with smoke. But we don't live in a vacuum. We live in an environment that is balanced with means to consume carbon when we produce it. So I share all this with you because when you look at the population density map, you see the vast amounts of sparsely populated land. As I mentioned, approximately 15% of the entire world is populated, which means that 85% of the Earth's surface is not populated. We are identified as being the means of producing carbon. Yet 85% of the world doesn't produce it. So many will tell you that climate change as a result of human activity is settled science. The number, 97% of all scientists, consider it to be settled, therefore it must be that all experts agree. Yet it is not settled. I've provided you with enough evidence that raises doubt, both scientific and scriptural. Yet from Adonai's perspective, this is not the issue. His word should be sufficient, but for many it isn't because they don't know him and therefore don't respect his word. So in order to be able to defend your position, you need to know what others are saying, what others believe, and ultimately what others do. Climate change caused by man is not the issue of Adonai. It is the issue of man in relation to that which has become an idol of worship, the earth. We are to be stewards of that which we have been given dominion over, yet we are not to worship it. Adonai is the one who sustains his creation, both man and earth. The earth still obeys its creator, as we should. Genesis 2:15, Adonai God took the person and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate and care for it. We are to care for the earth and tend to the earth, but we are not supposed to worship the earth. So what am I saying? Be good stewards, not obsessed stewards. Worship Adonai, not his creation, and you will live a long life. So if everybody will please rise.